Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, February the 1st of 2022. Yay! We finally made it through the slowest moving month of the year, as it seems like January always is. Finally. Oh, welcome to this February 1st, 2022, and I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Miller, Michigan, where I live, and it's always good to be with you every time I get to be with you, and while it's on my mind, I do want to wish a big happy birthday shout out to my brother who lives down there in Kentucky, down there in Elizabethtown, south of Louisville. If you're listening tonight, bro, happy birthday. And I pray that God is blessing you today. And, good to have you tuned in, if you're tuned in, right? And so took a picture. I went to DQ, Dairy Queen, to get one of those blizzards. And this time I chose to go with this peanut butter cookie dough. I don't know how many of you listeners have heard of peanut butter cookie dough, but to be honest with you folks, it's delicious. It's like, I don't know if it's chocolate cookie dough infused with peanut butter, or if it's a special new thing that they now have, maybe even in stores, called peanut butter cookie dough. It's, but it's very delicious. And so they got me one of those. We did a picture, sent it to, you know, my mom, we sent it to my brother. And so, thinking of him, of course, because I know, remember that when he was little, he always wanted blizzards from Dairy Queen. And when me and my brother were little, up until he would have been like 19. Up until then, we had a Dairy Queen in our mall. For most of our life, that was the only Dairy Queen in town, was at the mall. Up until 2008. Fast forward to 2011, the one in the mall out. And I still wish they didn't do that. But apparently, for whatever reason, they thought cell phones were more important than ice cream. As far as inside of the mall goes, I would beg to differ. I want my ice cream back. I want my blizzards back. In the mall, mind you. And my friend Jenny/Donut's mom had ran it for the last couple of years before they shut it down. Oh, just dreaming about Jenny Donut's mom giving me free blizzards. Oh, I wish. Cookie dough and all those other delicious flavors. Oh, I don't think they had peanut butter cookie dough back then, though. No. Peanut butter cookie dough is delicious. And so have me one of those today. Uh, I do have a little bad news that has to bring us back to reality when it comes to the season, and that is that we have winter weather advisories, winter storm warnings here in Michigan, starting with tonight going to midnight, tomorrow night / Thursday. Depending on location around this area, we have a weather advisory from 4 a.m. tomorrow morning to midnight Wednesday night. In southern Michigan, they have winter storm warnings that go from basically just after midnight to almost midnight Thursday night, depending on location. Places like Oakland County, though, and Genesee County, those warnings expire at 7 a.m. on Thursday. Places like Wayne County and Monroe County and different counties on the west side of the state, including Kalamazoo County, those warnings don't expire until midnight or so Thursday night. Be safe. Note that around these parts, it could be anywhere from 2 to 4 in this area. In this particular county, Mellon County is 2 to 4. And but in areas like the southwest, southeast could be as much as 10 to 15. Like those counties like Wayne, Monroe, Washtenaw. Counties like Oakland could be 9 to 13, but counties on the west side, certain counties on the extreme west, southwest side could be as much as 20 inches of snow. So by all means, if you're in one of those zones like here, 2 to 4 inches or whatever, just be cautious. If you're in one of those areas where it's like over 10 inches, and I'm going to be careful. In those particular areas, if you don't have to go out, don't. But in these areas around here, just be cautious. And so, Michigan, winter in Michigan. Sometimes, though, we just happen to get totally hammered. Yeah. But in about 2.5 weeks, I get to leave this house of winter and go to the Florida for a week. I was gonna say Egypt, but really, it only feels more like that in the winter, because it's like how in Egypt, how there was all that desert and there, but in the winter around here, it almost feels it'd be more like a cold desert, where instead of dust, you have snow. Stuff like that. But I get to go to Florida for a week. That being said, between the 21st and 23rd, that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there will probably be 2 episodes, not all 3, but probably 2. And they'll be shorter. And I'll do a little bit of encouragement, kind of let you know how things are. But a lot of what I'll be doing is I'll be like letting you know how things are going, and kind of encouraging you a bit. Just so I'm really looking forward to Florida to get out of this winter messy coldy, snowy, icy, frozen tundra, whatever you want to call it. Some of these people like to say that they love the cold weather, and that to them it's almost like heaven on earth. You know what? To those of you who say it's like heaven on earth, you know what? There will be no below zero in heaven. There will be no below zero in heaven. Maybe one little room for one person. They get to be in it for like 3 minutes. They'll be like, it can be white as snow and stuff like that, but there won't be a below zero in heaven. And as for warm snow, maybe if there's such a thing as warm snow, maybe that could be arranged. But this super cold stuff, I don't think it's going to be there. So keep an eye out for that. Though I'll be away on the road, I won't totally be leaving the air. I'll just be a little bit less. Like, probably one last episode, and the others I do will be kind of a, you know, here's how it's going. And so I'll try to keep you posted. How it's going. That's kind of a heads up, even though it's 2 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away. The next, between now and then, including both of the next two weeks, we'll still be going live on the air and keep it going, as I always do. And let you know as to how it's all going. So the plan is we'll do our singing like we always do, and then we'll continue on our series on the Book of Acts, discussing what happens in the Book of Acts, and then we'll have a brief sports update, or I want to discuss something that I did not really get to last night. And that is Tom Brady and what decision has he made as far as his future. I'm not going to tell you at this moment the decision that he made, because I want you to listen to find out what it is, particularly if you're into sports. And I wouldn't want to lose my listeners. So you'll find out what it is later. You might like it, you might not like it, but I'm going to tell you what it is anyway. And so, with that, I do want to remind you that this episode has been brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can check out the new menu hacks available at your local McDonald's for a limited time. Oh, I wish that there were deals on the app that involved the hacks. because I saw some of those hacks. Land there and see one. That one in particular, I did not like the price they wanted for it. I just looked at it online, and I'm like, no. I'm like, please no. But nonetheless. Go to your local McDonald's to get them if you like. Let me know how they are. And we go from there. Okay. Now, I do want to remind you real quick of two quick things. I want to remind you about the book, the Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how gracious God has been. It gives my mom's account of the story too, as to where in October of 1988, on Halloween night, my mom had went into the open door here in Midland. They told her about a church, and she started to go try it out, and then you can find out about, go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out more information about the book. Again, that website is Rivers of Miracles, R-I-V-E-R-S of Miracles.com to find out more info about the book. That's Rivers of Miracles with an I. Riversofmiracles.com to find out info about the book. You'll be glad you did. And I hope the book can be a blessing to you. Also, I would also like to remind you about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com and if you want to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. Your gift keeps us going. That alone is not why I want you to give. I want you to give because I want to see you get blessed. Now, the Bible talks about the sower, how he goes out to sow. And some seed falls on some rocky places where the birds of the air, just other seed, you know, the thorns. And then there's, you know, first is the path, then the rocky places. Then there's the thorny, the thorns, where in all three cases, the seed doesn't bear any fruit. But then the last one sows seed in the good ground. And when you sow a seed into the Miracle Man show, you are sowing into good, fertile ground. And this helps keeps us going. And whenever you sow a seed, I always thank the Lord for it, of course. And then I also believe God for you, that you can be blessed. And the verse I want to sow into your life today is where it says, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to the amount of snow that the weather forecaster said that you're going to get tonight and tomorrow and the next day." Shelley, isn't that what it said? It's based on the amount of snow we're supposed to get?
Yeah.
Oh, Yeah, it's based on based on the amount of snow. Oh, really? Nope. Oh. Sorry about that. Says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. His riches and glory. It's not based, it's not based on circumstances, whatever those circumstances may be, whether it's, you know, want to talk about, the bread, the price, something else, you know, whatever else is going on in your life. Oh, the weather, this, could get 12 inches plus of snow tonight or tomorrow or what, or whatever. No. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. It's a constant. It doesn't change based on, you know, circumstances around you. Nope. It's according to his riches and glory. That's what the Word of God says. And another thing I want to mention to you guys before we end the worship. Now, for those of you who are in law enforcement or in the military, you know, those in green, those in blue, anyone else, you know, keeping us safe, and all those even on the medical front lines, you tuned in. Thank you for what you're doing. And I pray, well, I'm praying for you, police, military, those of you tuned in, and pray, Lord God, that pray over you folk that people would respect law enforcement again, and that all of these calls to defund, unfund, you know, defund the police, defund this and all that, would be stopped. No, extra funding. And for those, and thank you so much to all of our law enforcement and our police and our firemen, military personnel tuning in, whether you're serving now or have served in the past. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. Now we're going to get on into the rest of the show for tonight. I'm just seeing a couple songs, and then as I said, we're going to get into the word of the Lord.
Take me to the riverside, Take me under, baptized, I need you. Lord, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like the sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like a sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like the sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. It's like holy water on my skin. Like holy water. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I can't go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow it will bring. But I know here in the middle what your will is, your promise to be. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? Yes, is all I want, is all you are. Will you meet me here again? As I walk now through the valley, of everything, and I know here in the middle what your promise is of everything. I'm not enough unless you come, will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you want. Will you meet me here again? I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? Yes. 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? Oh, 'cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Oh, not enough unless you come, will you meet me here again? Oh, 'cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let now the weak say I have strength. By the saved and redeemed, and now the lost be welcome home. By the saved and redeemed, those adopted as your own. And now our hearts burn with a flame consumed of your Son's holy name. And with the heavens we declare you We love you, Lord. We worship you. You are our God. You alone are good. Let now your church shine as the bright that you saw in your heart. And let the weak say, I have strength. By the saved and redeemed, and I'm more than blessed. Let now our hearts burn with the flame, a fire consuming all for your Son's holy name. And with the heavens we declare, you are our King. We love you, Lord. We worship you. You are our God. You alone are good. You ask your Son to carry this, the heavy cross, our weight of sin. I love you, Lord. I worship you. Of which was lost, now stands renewed. I give my life to honor the love of Christ, our Savior King. Let now our hearts burn with the flame, a fire consuming all for your Son's holy name. And with the heavens we declare, you are our King. We love you, Lord. We worship you. You are our God. You alone are good. You ask your Son to carry this, the heavy cross, our weight of sin. I love you, Lord. I worship you. Of which was lost, now stands renewed. I give my life to honor this, the love of Christ, our Savior King. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, come before you tonight, thanking you for who you are, for what you are to us. Thank you that you are the God that makes a way when it seems like there is no way. You're the God who is the answer. You have the answer. Thank you, Lord God, that you are helping us. You're making us into who we ought to be. And thank you, Master, that you are just strengthening us, helping us tonight. I take authority over all sickness and disease in these on these listeners. I take authority over the sickness and disease, and I pray that in your name, Jesus, that our bodies would be made healed and whole in your name, Jesus. Your name is higher than the name of sickness, than the name of disease, and all these other names. Thank you, Master, that you are our healer, our strengthener. Thank you, Master, for just always being there for us, no matter what needs we have. Just knowing that you will meet the need tonight, once and for all. Thank you, Master, for that. And now, I just thank you that you're here for us. You're helping us. And so, just make yourself known in our lives and just do whatever you want to do in us. And I thank you now for the word tonight. That as we study your word, people will be delivered, set free, healed. They will receive everything you have for them tonight. I don't know what it is that you have for them, but you do. And I thank you that those things will come to pass for these listeners. And that as we study your word tonight, go forth with boldness, simplicity. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will have your way tonight in these listeners. You'll have your way in the Word tonight. You can come on, Holy Spirit, and do whatever you want to do tonight. And now, I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, amen, and amen. Let's make our Bible confession.
because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. So let's see. This is my Bible. I am what the Word says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. More than a history book to me. More than a religious book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight in the name of Jesus. Go with me, if you would like to, please, to the book of Acts 21. Praise God, Acts 21. And I want to encourage you, please, to be a part. Don't just sit at home and watch and be a spectator. No. I want you to be a participator, not just be that person who just sits at home and just decides, I'm just going to be a spectator. I'm not going to have anything to do. I'm just going to be a spectator. No. I want you to come on board and be a doer. I want you to come on board and be a participator, not just a watcher. Praise God. Acts 21, and we're going to continue on. Just talking about, you know, the book of Acts. I've really been enjoying this. As I said, Acts 21. I want to begin with verse 1. And Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. After we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day, we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board, and set sail. After sighting Cyprus, by the way, folks, this is not Cyprus, Texas, which is basically a suburb outside of, this is the country Cyprus. One set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. Finding the disciples there, we stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. All the disciples and their wives and children accompanied us out of the city. And there, on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship. They returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Salamis, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea, and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters. So we had been there a number of days. A prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem with the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and we said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Onesimus, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. Verse 17. When we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers received us warmly. The next day, excuse me. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews to live among the Gentiles, to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or to live according to our customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come from what we tell you. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everybody will know that there is no truth in their reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them a decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strange strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. The next day, Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the days of purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. Verse 27. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help us! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people in our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple." Area and has defiled this holy place. They had previously seen Trophimus, Ephesian, in the city with Paul, and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple area. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut, while they were trying to kill him. News reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some shouted another. The commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar. He ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great that he had to be carried in by the soldiers. The crowd that followed kept shouting, "Oh, my God, it's him!" Verse 37. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" "Do you speak Greek?" he replied. "And aren't you the Egyptian who started a report and led that started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the desert some time ago?" Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people." Having received the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, I'm going to read you this chapter too. brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city under Gamaliel, thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers, and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way, it says capitalized way, to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus, and went there to bring those people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly, a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. He replied, my companion saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said. Go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. His companions led him by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded him to his eyes. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the very moment, I was about to see him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away. Call it by calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and I saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony about me. I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and to beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the cloths of those who were killing him. Then the Lord said to me, go. I will send you far away to the Gentiles verse 22. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then he raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him! He's not fit to live!" As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered Paul to be taken into the barracks, and he directed that he be flogged and questioned in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out in order to flog him, Paul said to the centurion who was standing there, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. "What are you going to do?" he asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." The commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," he answered. And the commander said, "I had to pay a big price for my citizenship, but I was born a citizen," Paul replied. Those who were about to question him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. The next day, since the commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and all of the Sanhedrin to assemble. And he brought Paul and had him stand before them. All right, so what you see here is Paul is taking a witness at the stand, talking to them about what all he had done, because when Paul got to Jerusalem, there were people there. It wasn't too long after he got there that there were people who did not like him. They wanted him dead. They didn't like what he had been doing. They didn't like that he was they didn't like that he was an apostle. They didn't like the different things that he was doing, that he was ministering to people. They didn't like it. And then he testified about what all had happened, even talking about how at one point he was just like those. When he had been younger, he had been just like those people were behaving in Jerusalem. He had been behaving just like them. He wasn't even kind to Stephen. He admitted to that. And then he explained about what had happened even with the light, where the voice of God had said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then he says, "Who is that? Who are you? And then that voice says, "Well, I'm Jesus, and you're persecuting. And basically says, Trump. And he tells Paul to get up, Saul to get up, be baptized, repent, and go do whatever I tell you to do. And then Paul, who had been Paul at the time, had to leave Jerusalem to get away from the Jews and to go with the Gentiles. And so many people gave their lives to Jesus through the ministry of Paul. But then Paul went back, was on his way back to Jerusalem, but even those who have been following him back on the ship were all like, Paul, do we have to go back? Why should we go back? You're like, there's people there that won't want to kill you, that don't want to kill you. Paul's like, you know, we're going to go back to Jerusalem. They had heard in the spirit, they had seen in the spirit, that there would be people there that would be trying to take his life. And sure enough, there were people there trying to take his life when they got there. And there was all that uproar, and all those people were saying, away with me, away with you. So then Paul starts talking in Aramaic, giving his testimony, what all had happened, and the people were being quiet. But then he made, giving all his different things about himself. And then he made a certain statement near the end. And then, but then something he said made everyone just get all crazy again. And throw stuff and everything else. Then they try to throw him in the barracks and flog him and throw him in the barracks again. But then he admits that he says that he's a Roman citizen. Which sure enough he is. And all of a sudden he was one of those people, those guys don't have it. He says, well, I had to pay a price for my citizenship. But then Paul's like, you see, I was born here. I was born as a Roman citizen. And so later, that honcho, he was alarmed that he had ordered Paul to be chained. He was alarmed about what he had done. And I love the boldness of Paul. I do. He was just not afraid. He has that perfect definition of being, he is that perfect definition of being what I call Book of Acts. He was, because of course he was from the Book of Acts, and he was bold and loud. But of course, there was all those guys before they tried to put him in the barracks. And they were like, "Here's our Greeks," and all this kind of, and all this kind of stuff. They need to file this holy place. You know, false accusations against Paul, and Paul had not been doing those things anymore. Paul had previously been a persecutor, as we even read again, as we even read tonight. But Paul has stopped doing that. He has stopped. You know, back when he was Saul. He has stopped doing that. And had become a preacher. And had begun, you know, to be a preacher of the word. Went from prosecuting to teaching. No, from persecuting to preaching. I made a mistake when I said prosecuting. I'm not persecuting. They went from persecuting to preaching. And that is a big turnaround. To go from one all the way to the other. And so, what if you had been just kind of, okay, go ahead, arrest me. But no, he felt like he had something to say to those people. He felt like he had a word to say to them. And then they let him speak to those people. And kind of mentioned, you know, what had happened previously. And I think of Paul and Peter. Both of those different people in Acts. They had both been very bold in their preaching and their teaching, telling them, you have to repent. You need to be repent and be baptized. You need to stop your sin. You need to, you know, not be persecuting anymore. Get right with God. Hopefully, listeners, you're going to a you're going to a church where your pastor is telling you, if you're not right, get with God. Get right with God. Folks, we're in the last of the last days. We're in the last of the last days. I'm serious. Signs are getting clearer and clearer. But it's not like, well, I know when the rapture is going to happen. No, nobody knows. But at the same time, we're getting closer. We are in the last day. We are in the last of the last days. And I don't know if you can see it, but the signs are just getting there. And so, you're not going to a church where the pastor is preaching the truth, the uncompromised word of God. And it's time to get out and find a church where the pastor is preaching the word of God, the unadulterated, uncompromised word of God. Because Paul was bold. He was not afraid to stand up for the truth. He stood up for the truth and stood up for what he believed in. Unafraid. People are so afraid today. Oh, and by the way, not just because they're afraid they'll catch COVID. They're afraid of what people will say. they'd be like, well, I might feel a certain way, but I'm afraid of what these people are going to say. I'm afraid that people won't like my message. Well, I'm afraid that people... Really? The believers might think, well, I'm afraid people will do when they find this out about me. No. We should be unashamed. Unafraid, unashamed to admit what things. You should be unafraid of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, wholeness, rescue, restoration, renewals, deliverance. That's salvation, folks. For those who believe. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would look at this word tonight and that we would truly be unashamed, that we would be unashamed. That we wouldn't be afraid to speak up for what we believe in, that we believe in Jesus, that we wouldn't care what people think just because, you know, we have Jesus on the inside of us. And I pray that we would realize how great it is to have Jesus on our side, that we can be satisfied because we have you, Jesus, on our side. We may give you praise and honor and glory for that. In your matchless name, amen. In terms of sports, Tom Brady has determined that he has decided to retire from the NFL. 22 seasons. 7 Super Bowls. 3 other trips to the Super Bowl where he lost. He was MVP. 5 times. In the last 8 seasons, in the last 7 seasons, he made it to the Super Bowl. Let me see here. In the last 8 seasons, he made it to the Super Bowl. Let me think here. In 14, yep. In 15, no. In 16, yep. In 17, yep. In 20, yep. He won 4 Super Bowls in his last 8 seasons. He won 4 Super Bowls. 4. Between 01 and 2013, he only won 4. So he was winning them. He only won 3 between 01 and 2013. 3. So he won more in his later years, in his 30s and 40s, than what he did in his 20s. He led the league in passes completed. And he led the league in passes caught for touchdowns. Passes that were thrown for touchdowns. At least for now, he is truly the greatest quarterback of all time. and he has admitted that now is ready to focus on other things. So he has a couple of children, and he wants to be there for them. And you know what? I can't blame Tom Brady for that. He is 45 now. He gave it all he had for as long as he took, as long as he could. Who knows if he'll pull a Brett Favre or not? Brett Favre retired twice, only to come back and play. He retired twice, both in 08 and in 09, and came back to play. 09, he had one of the best years of his whole career. Oh, wait, that was kind of mediocre. But 09, when he decided he was coming back, man, he gave that thing his all in Minnesota. We'll see what happens with Tom Brady. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.